On today's episode, we are going to talk about separating yourself in business, why webinars are important for your business, and the maturation process of finding your why.
Let's go!
This is the Blind Entrepreneur Podcast, where we help entrepreneurs and business professionals execute their vision by guiding them to profitability. Today, we have David Abrams. He is the co-founder and CEO of Demio. Demio is a smart webinar platform on a simple mission. From the beginning, they've had the marketer in mind, and almost every feature they've built in Demio has been built with a common goal: make webinars more effective. David, how is your day going?
My day is going great. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here and share some good knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't wait to tap into the brain. But before we do, we have to start off the podcast the same way we do every single time, and that is with an icebreaker. So, David, are you ready?
Sure. Absolutely.
All right. So imagine you just had the absolute best day of your life. Where are you going to eat, and what are you going to order in order to make your day complete?
I think that's an easy one for me. It's always got to be sushi. That's probably my number one go-to. And we have this place here in Tampa that has just amazing rolls, so I'd probably get that.
I respect that answer. So what are the main rolls that you're going after? Are you more of like the raw sushi type of guy? Are you the cooked sushi type of guy? Let's have it.
Definitely raw sushi, but I really like the complex rolls with the different sauces. There's this roll here called the cat roll. And it's got like lots of fish on it, but like sriracha and some other stuff. So it's spicy, delicious, and fresh all at the same time.
Nice. I'm sure Tampa has some quality stuff there.
We do. So
without further ado, David, please tell us a little bit more about yourself. Who are you and what is your story?
Yeah, like you said, I am the co-founder and CEO of Demio. Previously, I also founded a couple other companies, Systemizely, which was a digital marketing agency and consultancy. And before that, I had a web design development company and agency. But, you know, my journey in marketing and business actually started around 6 years ago when I went into an internship. I had traveled the world. I didn't have any money. I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I joined a company as an intern, started learning, like opened my eyes to this whole world of business and marketing, got into it, fell in love with it, and then it just kind of grew from there. Ended up leaving and starting to build my own companies, which was kind of an eye-opening experience, going from just, you know, a employee and the employee mindset into building your own company and how you survive and build that. But over time, I've kind of just leveled up my knowledge, and it's kind of led me here.
Very cool. So let's talk about the entrepreneur journey so far. You said 6 years ago. What has the journey been like so far?
You know,
especially at the three businesses in 6 years. I mean, there's some success there, and I'm sure there's failure. So let's talk about it.
Totally. And you know, it originally started as I was just a contractor. Like, I didn't know what I was going to do. I was just selling time for money. And that ended up becoming my web design agency because I was just doing this contracting stuff. And I realized that to actually make some real money in it, I had to scale up. So I started learning that I have to hire people. And then I had to learn, you know, that an agency is kind of a business that's built on non-scalable methods. The more you want to grow, the more people you have to hire. So I started learning about all these operational things. And my partner ended up leaving, and it was just a whole big mess. So we just shut down the company, and that was kind of just a big failure. But I learned a lot during the process. I learned a lot about sales, like just getting on calls, getting with prospects. I learned about project management, how to actively do that, and team building in the operational side of businesses. And really that pushed me forward into kind of figuring the marketing systems behind, you know, funnels and stuff. And this is before like Russell Brunson blew up the word funnel and all this. I started building marketing funnels for some people on the side. And this really became my second consultancy, Systemizely, where we just looked at, you know, what are operational systems that we can put in place. And I really found some key wins. People are really good at vision sometimes, but on the operational side or the system side or the technical system side, you know, there's a lot of holes that people run into. So I would come in and help them with those things. And that company's still alive. I don't really do anything with it because my focus right now is all Demio. But that was a big win. I just learned that people need those things and I could focus on that. And then Demio was actually it has been a crazy journey. It's just been a three-year journey, a three-year grind. I joined with my co-founder, like I said, about 3 years ago, and we just had a vision to create a better webinar platform, one that was more reliable, it was easier, just more beautiful. It just had a great experience for attendees. A lot of the platforms we were using for the marketing funnels that I was creating for people or that he was using in his business either crapped out on us, failed, or just didn't have like the tools. And I was putting together three or four applications to sync them together to do what we wanted to do. And so we just saw this common problem that people were talking about on Facebook and in the marketplace and literally complaining and asking for a better solution. We're like, hey, look at this validation. And so we went out to start this journey, and we've made probably every mistake in the book over the past 3 years. We talk about it all the time, very transparently. But one of them early on was we just kind of jumped into it as two non-technical founders into this very tech-heavy, you know, SaaS company, hired an agency, you know, paid over six figures of our own bootstrap money. We got screwed over. 6 months gone, you know, six figures and funds gone. We had to start over. And this time we're like, hey, let's build the team ourselves. We'll do it right. But we felt so rushed to get things out fast that we just started hiring people like crazy. We were just throwing money at it. And we didn't really strategically take the time to build a clean MVP, to validate our product, to do all the key things that I know now you're supposed to do early on in software. And so we ended up just burning a whole bunch of money again, coming to market with this very large, robust software that honestly wasn't really proven, tested, or what people wanted. And so we had to go back one more time, close it all down, let go a lot of the team, and we started again from scratch. And we went super simple. We said, hey, what if we built a simple webinar platform that was very, very effective and just did everything you wanted to do? And that's where we started. We went that baseline. We went into a free beta period and just validated early and often and just made quick moves with the software. And it's been a really great journey since then of just learning and experience.
Yeah, so let's talk about the failures. What was one particular time that you felt absolutely blind in business, and how did you overcome it?
You know, I can name a variety of them, but I think the biggest ones for me always boil down to one key thing, and that's understanding my why, like my core reason for doing it. And most of the times when I feel stuck or I feel unhappy, like I'll literally feel unhappiness, I'll do the work because I don't have a problem with discipline. Like I'll always be able to get up, get on the computer, do what has to be done. But I also need for me like inner happiness to feel like what I'm doing is aligned with my greater purpose or what I want to do in 5, 10, 15, 20 years. Like, am I going towards my long-term goal? And a lot of times, especially early on for entrepreneurs, it's really easy to get caught up in the train of going after money. Like, hey, this idea is going to make me a lot of money. Let's do it. And I remember like when I was with my first agency, I was doing like 10 things. I was like, oh, people are selling t-shirts online. Let me try that. Oh, there's this. So I'm trying like 50 different things, and all of them boil down to just making money. Like there was no purpose behind it. And I would just do a little bit in each one, just, you know, almost like it was a hobby. So I would just do a little bit, you know, no results would come. I would just throw it to the side, try something else. And by doing that, that was really where I felt blind. I really made no big strides forward. I just kind of stuck in the mud, just churning it out. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs get stuck there. And when I really start to look at like why those things are happening, it's because I didn't have a central, clear vision or like a centralized why of what I was trying to do and, you know, aligning the purpose of the work with what I wanted to go to.
So I think that comment, that answer right there summarizes a lot of entrepreneurs' feelings. And I can say right now in full transparency, that I too felt that way at some point in time. At what point in time were you just like, you know what, this is my why? This is why I'm here, and this is what I'm trying to do. Can you remember the day that happened?
You know, I'm a big believer that there isn't a day where you just have one why. Like, you just develop your why, and that's it. That's my why in life. I think, and I just wrote an article about this, that your why is a maturation process. Like, it goes through a growth process like you do. As you grow, your why grows. And I think some of it has to do with experience in your life. Like, I remember when I was a kid, I wanted to be a botanist to cure cancer, and that was my why. Like, I had this big desire to go into science. I worked so hard. I took like AP classes in early high school. But, you know, as I grew up, I kind of, my passion, my desire, my things in my life changed, and so did my why. And I think now a lot of my why is still around helping other people. But I think the why itself always changes with your circumstances. For me right now, where my why is, it's definitely changed over the past 3 years. So I can't remember an exact period or time when I realized it. But I think I do remember when I was so unhappy in my web design business. I'm like, what am I doing? I'm just, and on some level you have to survive. I was like, I was just doing the work to survive, but it didn't align at all. And I said, I have to figure this out. And it was very close to when I just closed it down. And I just said, I would rather, you know, go work a job and not be super unhappy with my, you know, my why.
That's interesting. So now you have Demio and you're extremely passionate about it. You absolutely love what you're doing. How has that refined reasoning helped your business grow to where it is today?
Well, I definitely think that, you know, the passion that we have to help entrepreneurs is like the key underlining thing for Demio. It's like we wanted to find a solution that helped you connect with your audience more. And for us, the medium just happened to be webinars. And that is just the device that we're using. But really, it comes back to the fact that we wanted to create something better for the marketplace. So for us, it's always about creating better solutions. So you can always be passionate and like we'll have me and my co-founder, we'll have conversations where we can just come up with so many cool ideas or, you know, new innovations and new strategies. The hard part for us is reeling it back and doing the day by day instead of just looking out so much at the things we want to get done. But that passion is genuinely what drives us, you know, every day to get up to try to be better. We recognize that nothing's ever perfect. So you're not looking for perfection or anything. It's just progress, day by day progress. I think early on, it was easy for us to fall in love with what we thought it should be instead of, you know, going day by day. You know, there's going to be days that are a little bit more grueling than others. There's going to be days that are more of a grind. And then you just got to, you know, lean back and be like, okay, we're going to get there. We're going to get to our why. We're going to eventually make it to where we want to go. But the passion has to be what drives you through that. And I don't know if I answered your question. Like, I just went on a tangent there.
No, I think you did. I mean, you're passionate, and because you're passionate, you found a legitimate hole in the market and you're trying to fix it. And that's what's pushing you to where it is today. So webinars, a lot of people, I feel like webinars, and no disrespect to the organization that you're building, but webinars are very in right now. They're very trendy. They are like the cornerstone to a lot of organizations' marketing. You see a lot of the big names doing it. Why should more organizations get involved in webinars, and how can webinars help their business?
Well, I think the word webinars is, you know, maybe a newer term in online business because it's a type of communication platform. But the key thing to remember is that webinars in itself are not new to business. This is by far one of the oldest parts of business ever. It's communicating to a prospect. You're basically giving them a story about, you know, why you started your business. You're giving them some education, and then you're helping them solve their problems with your solution or product. So it's the exact same business methods that have been tried and true for 500 some years since, you know, real business coming to the office and sitting down and doing a one-on-one pitch to someone is the exact same thing as a webinar. You're just changing the media format and doing it in a one-to-many setting. So instead of just, you know, having 12 people that you can talk to a day, you could talk to 1,000 people in 1 hour and, you know, maximize your revenue. You can maximize the amount of people you can talk to. You can maximize the relationships you build. You can make more transparency. You can have better relationships. All those things happen on a webinar. All it is just a changed medium. I think that every business out there needs to be doing webinars. I think that there's kind of this thing in the internet marketing space where webinars are these pitch fests. You go on, you're on there for an hour, and you're just getting pitched hard by products. And I think in a lot of ways, internet marketing, you know, the make money online niche especially, really burns specific like marketing and sales methods out because people really do it in like a hard selling way. But I think every business needs to have communication with their prospects, whether it's marketing webinars, sales webinars, it could be training, onboarding, Q&A, you know, just having a weekly call with people. Like if you get on and you're listening to a CEO of a company or a founder or a CMO, like, and you're building a relationship with those people, you're also making it a better, like, you want to work with that company more. It's more human. It's not just like, hey, this is this company I use. These things actually have real tangible benefits to creating relationships in this modern digital world.
Yeah, very cool. Now, can you give us some examples of maybe some of your clients that you guys feel are doing a really good job? And if you don't want to name the clients, that's totally okay. Maybe you can think of some other individuals or influencers that are really crushing the webinar space. And
yeah,
some nuggets of information that we could take along with us in order to use your platform better.
Yeah, absolutely. So I look at, you know, in the internet marketing space, like a guru I could say would be like an Alex Becker, who's just absolutely amazing at webinars. He He has multiple businesses, runs webinars for everything. And the reason that he's so good at it is he's really taken a mathematical approach to it, understanding what it costs to get a click, what it costs to get a lead to register for an event, what the number of people that sign up and join that event is, so your attending number, and then what that sales number is, how many of those people that show up then convert. And with that mathematical equation, he can then scale his business and controls every part of growth into his business. So if he knows that he makes, for 1,000 people that are on, he makes $20,000 and he spends $5,000 on traffic, he's making a 3x return on his advertising. So then he can scale up his advertising as much as he wants to generate the same amount of sales. So he basically has total and complete leverage of his business at any time to grow or, you know, shrink that marketing budget whenever he wants. And he's been able to grow his latest business was Market Hero. And he grew that to, I think, 10-plus million-dollar a year company already in like 6 months or something like that, just with his strategy. He's really good. As far as the other side of things, we really are going after like software companies and stuff like that that we work with. I know ConvertKit uses webinars with us very, very well. They do training webinars together. They do joint promos together. And again, they're going after strategic partners, and they're working with them to bring in leads. For them, it's almost like a free lead strategy that then turns into sales. I look at companies like Thinkific, who are constantly doing partner promotions and stuff like that. And these are companies that have genuinely ramped up their revenue from five-six-figure MRR to multiple million-dollar ARRs with webinars as their primary strategy, just because of the scalable fashion that you can use for them. How much money you dump into ads can also relate to how much money comes out the other end if you test and monitor the metrics of that webinar.
Very interesting. Now, one of the hardest things to do is in business is to achieve your first 100 customers. How were you able to accomplish that?
Yeah, so we actually did, this long process of building the platform actually had some real positives for us because we were able to do some pre-marketing before we even got the product out, which was kind of cool. So we did videos and ran them on Facebook as pay-per-view ads. And so we ran those targeting some of our key early demographics. And we ran those capturing them on a landing page for Demio. We could sign up for a pre-beta. We relaunched a live free beta version so people could come in. And so from this list of 1,600 people that we got, and we didn't really pay that much money in advertising. It was really low budget because our pay-per-view was like 0.003 penny, like something like really ridiculously low. So we had this list that we went to for free beta. And then in our beta program, we also had some viral strategies. Like when you ran a webinar, we invited their attendees to join the free beta and stuff like that. So we grew this pretty large beta following where we were able to get feedback during our beta process, all that. Now, at the end of that, we offered super low discounted accounts to anyone that was in beta if they wanted to join our program before we did our grand opening. So we did get a lot of customer conversion from that by having this kind of early marketing and this beta period. Now, on the flip side of that, a lot of that also turned into some brand awareness in the marketplace. So then when we did do this grand opening, which we ended up doing like a launch style grand opening with affiliates, we already had a lot of marketplace awareness and we were able to just push that. But from our grand opening launch, we did, I'm trying to think of the exact number, I can't remember, I think we did almost 500 sales, all annual sales of accounts. And I think 65% of them were from either our own list or our own traffic. So from the affiliates we had, still only about 35% came from affiliates. And that just goes to show how much of that pre-marketing and brand awareness we actually created before even going live.
Very interesting. So what are some tech? You said pre-marketing. Like, we'd love to hear a little bit more about what type of pre-marketing you did. And then also affiliates, because that's a very interesting strategy.
Mm-hmm. So with the pre-marketing, like I said, what we did was we did a lot of videos. So we basically would take we either made videos that talked about what the platform was going to do, so like teasers, but we just really focused on what is the benefits of the product and who's our target market, right? So just basic marketing, but we talked about it, like imagine a platform that could experience blah, 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 like just talking about those things. And we put it out there with some questions and it was just to get awareness. And again, when you do these pay-per-view ads, they can be really cheaply done. So we just put it out there. We did a show. So we did a behind the scenes show of us like every week it was us, what we were doing that week to build the company, and then we answered questions. So that also went out there. So there was some education people can follow. And then when we had some product stuff, we started recording the product and like showing it in like small teaser format. And so people got excited about this. So we were doing those videos. Again, it took us a while to do this stuff. So we did it for literally about a year. These videos were being dripped out there, and we had 20 episodes of the show that were on YouTube and Facebook and all that kind of stuff. So we started, and again, not that much, 1600, I think, was our subscriber list, but we got the attention there. Now, we started doing demos with people early on, bringing them on and just doing live calls, showcasing the product to them. And what we would ask them to do is also talk about it on Facebook. So they started saying, oh, I just saw this demo of X product. Again, getting our name and stuff out there. So all this stuff was just to give us some early leverage. But the beta process was a really key thing, because you could actually see people running webinars. People were talking about their experience on it because it was free. Affiliates, we could talk to them early on, and they were still, you know, kind of thinking about the product and stuff like that. And so with the affiliate marketing, we actually went out and we had some previous launch experience, so we did have affiliates that we already knew, but we also went out there and we ran ads to segments of the marketplace that, you know, were affiliate marketers, ran ads to them promoting the upcoming launch, and then we just one-on-one reached out to really big players and tried to get some big people on.
And was it difficult to get those big name players? Did you try anything like I feel like when it comes to a SaaS platform, you really have to woo them, or they have to believe in what it is that you're doing. Was there any particular strategy in order to get the big name guys or girls?
Well, for us, early on, we wanted to create a brand and a feel that didn't feel like another product in the IM space. First and foremost, we really wanted to be outside of that. We wanted to be in like the SaaS space. So a lot of our branding and our videos and stuff, we really try to do in a different format than most of the people there. So instantly we had like differentiation. We also used the fact that, you know, it had taken us so long to build it because we had put so much time and effort and money. This wasn't just like another Me Too product that someone was just putting out there quickly. So if you can truly show that your product, how your product's going to help that affiliate's customer base, you can show, you know, the time, effort, and dedication you have to not only providing a product that works and is great, but also that you're going to support it. If you truly understand how to market it, like we talked about the benefits and why this is going to be so good and the unique parts of it, you can truly attract early people's attention. I think we kind of had a little bit of leverage in the marketplace already, but yeah, it was still hard because we were coming in after some other platforms had launched. We still didn't have perfect differentiation on what made us different than other platforms. And these are all things that we've learned over the past year since opening. But yeah, I mean, we still had good support. We didn't get, you know, all the support that we wanted. I think with affiliate launches, you are really, on some level, you're herding cats. You're also like in this really kind of, you're not really in control of your own marketing. You only get what the affiliates provide to you. And at the last minute, affiliates often bail. So like, you kind of have to know what you're getting into. And we didn't really want to go that route of affiliate marketing launch. We were kind of forced into it because we were bootstrapped. But that's the route we went. And it worked out for us. But I think for a lot of people, they see those launches and they're like, oh, that's awesome. But it's actually pretty difficult to get those affiliates on unless you're doing early reach out. You have the unique features of your product. You could really articulate why they're going to work so well. And of course, having early relationships, networking events, stuff like that are really great for cultivating those affiliate partnerships.
Yeah, no, these are the advice that you're giving is spoken like a true experienced entrepreneur. So it's always good to get into the mind of somebody who's done it before. So thank you so much for everything that you said thus far. I want to change the conversation a little bit into the more personal aspect. Number one, I see some awesome books behind you. So I have to at least ask, are you a big reader? Is there any book that you're really feeling right now? I think I see about two or three that like I've either read or I'm in the process of reading. So
nice. Yeah, my phone is covered, like my Kindle, my Audible is covered in books. I got stacks here, stacks down there, bookcase downstairs. Right now I'm reading Mastery by Robert Greene. It's really, I'm really in love with it. Obviously I'm in love with Ryan Holiday. I have all his books here. From a nonfiction book, I just read The Tiger. It was an amazing book, nonfiction. Man's Search for Meaning was a really good one. Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, probably one of my top books for any entrepreneur to read. But lots of good ones. I mean, I try to read SaaS, business, mindset, personal development, and nonfiction and fiction. And I try to just kind of change them around. So I'm not only reading business. I really want to grow different parts of myself. And I know sometimes, you know, you catch yourself struggling in some areas. Like I catch myself sometimes struggling in a personal development area, or, you know, maybe there's SaaS business stuff. So I'll read, you know, The Hard Things About Hard Things by Ben Horowitz, or Scale Up, or, you know, books about SaaS that I can actually take away from. And then you have things like Mastery, which is more like purpose driven and stuff like that. So, you know, you definitely want to mix that up and not get too narrow when you're reading.
Very cool. Now, what about habits? Something that is very near and dear to my heart. Mm-hmm. What are some habits that have helped you become more efficient throughout your day?
I think for me, the big ones is getting up earlier. I've definitely got into the habit of getting up earlier, and then working out. Fitness has been really helpful for me. I can honestly feel the days I don't work out in the morning. And sometimes I usually work out in the evening if I don't work out in the morning. But the days I work out in the morning, my energy level is almost doubled. So typically my habits are get up, walk the dogs, drink a big glass of water, sit down and read for about 30 minutes to 45 minutes. And I try not to look at my phone, email, support messages, any of that stuff. I sometimes get sucked into it, but I try not to. I just try to keep this my focus time, my alone time, read, refocus my thoughts. Then I'll get on the computer and try to really have focused hours. I really try to like section off other things, like any non-emergency things that are coming in, I try not to look at until I have time and I'm out of my focus zone. If I'm in something, I'm trying to focus on it in a certain set amount of time. And then at the end of the day, for habits, I definitely like to just recap what I got done for the day. If I didn't exercise in the morning, exercise in the evening, and then make sure I also have some time to disconnect and spend time with my girlfriend or family and stuff like that.
Very cool. Well, good stuff. I have a question about resources other than Demio, because I know Demio is a great resource. What are some other resources that you just simply can't live without?
I love Trello. Trello is a really good resource. I'm trying to think. Let me try to think of some other good resources. Trello is a really big one. I've loved Intercom. Intercom has been an absolute amazing, amazing platform that we love. Trying to think of what else. Drip has been, you know, a really cool platform to kind of grow with and watch them go. But yeah, those are pretty much the big ones. Trello is really cool because we use it not just for development stuff in our SaaS, but we do it for the op. We have like an operational board, we have marketing boards, we have blog post boards. Like, so I use it across the board for everything as far as productivity for myself.
Very good. Yeah, and now that they just released their desktop app, I don't know if you downloaded it, but it's been a huge, like, it's been a godsend, just efficiency to the max.
Nice.
The last question I have is, the Blind Entrepreneur, this podcast, was created for individuals who may be temporarily blind in business or stuck in a particular headspace. So to those individuals, what are three pieces of advice that you would give to a fellow entrepreneur?
Yeah, I would say first and foremost, try to step away from your business, whether it's a weekend or a day. Try to just shut things down and take a step away and go find some place where that's very peaceful to you, whether it's reading or somewhere where you can just sit and think. And I would really get very deep on your why and really start and think about what really got you to starting the journey of being an entrepreneur. You know, what took you there and why are you still doing? A lot of times I feel like when we get stuck and we're blind in those areas, it's because, again, we've lost the reasoning that we got there. We're so overwhelmed by the day by day from the minutiae, and we haven't really yet figured out what the priorities are. We're just doing everything, or we're just chasing things for the wrong reasons. So I would definitely start there. The second thing is I would try to change and reflect on what I am focusing on, like you said, like on a day-to-day basis. What habits am I doing? Am I really putting a lot of time into the most important things? Like, is there one to two things I could focus on every day that would push me close to my goal? Or am I trying to do 100 things in a day? So really try to look at, what can you cut out? What can you delegate? What can you really get off your table? A lot of times we think we're doing what's important and we're doing busy work or things that someone else can do maybe better than us or faster than us. And, you know, sometimes we're afraid to pay a little bit of money to get things off our table. We want to do it ourselves. And the third thing would be, you know, I would really look to see where I can hire. I'm really big on hiring great people, and I don't, like, today is a great example. Today with my team, they're like, oh, what should, you know, they were asking me some questions about what I thought they should do. And I'm like, listen, I'm not here to micromanage great people. I'm here to put great people in the positions for them to create greatness. And like, that's your responsibility, is to tell me what you think the next thing to work on is and what you think we can do to be better. So I like to hire great people that can help add value across the board. I don't have to be, I mean, I like the idea of leadership from behind, like helping people to find the vision and then pushing them to their greatness, you know, as much as I can. But I don't have to be the one in front of everyone saying, follow me, I'm the leader, you know, do this, do this, do this. I want to be helping them. So I think a lot of times, you know, you can really learn a lot by hiring someone great and getting a lot off your table and then just focusing on, you know, the other parts of the business that are good for you. And you'll really find so much stress is removed by great people. I've seen so many people stuck because they have someone that's just okay, and it's taking more mental energy out of them to try to like fix what they're doing or like guide them along the way or micromanage them and stuff like that. And, you know, you just got to let those people go, and you have to find great people. And it's hard, but I would definitely recommend that advice.
Great advice overall. Well, David, you successfully completed the podcast, man. So congratulations to you.
Sweet.
So without further ado, take the next 30 seconds. It's all yours. Talk about yourself. Tell everybody how they can follow your journey, be a part of your mission, and potentially become a customer.
Yeah, definitely. So first and foremost, come say hi to us at demio.com. We have live chat on there. Me and my co-founder are in there all the time. We're trying to talk to prospects, talk to customers. We love having these conversations. Just come say hi, say you saw us on the podcast or anything like that, and we'll hook you up with the trial to get started just to see, you know, about Demio. On the flip side, we do have a blog on the website under our Learn section, and this blog has what we call our journey. We transparently document and post all about our revenue milestones, where we are, problems we've run into, things we've learned. We're always trying to talk and give away a lot of this value of, like, you know, lessons that you can take and stuff like that. So come check that out or follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Both are /meetDemio. So come say hi, guys. We would love to talk to you.
Very cool. So thank you guys who are still watching and listening for always liking, commenting, and subscribing. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on YouTube. Everything you heard today will be in the show notes, including all the links mentioned. To watch more videos, be sure to head over to theblindentrepreneur.com for more interviews. Being blind in business is temporary, and I hope that after listening to the wisdom of David, you are now able to see more clearly. Go out there and execute your vision. Have a good rest of your day. Thank you so much for watching this video. Don't forget to follow me on any and all social media platforms using the long last name above, followed by the letter J. If you want to get lost into the dark abyss of YouTube, click either left or right for another video. And finally, don't forget to hit the subscribe button. No, seriously, don't forget.